Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by RacePlace.com, RunCatalina.com, Function Smart Physical Therapy, and Babbittville Radio. You can check out any of our interviews on iTunes or Babbittville.com. Our next guest, Glenn Hartrick, joins us. Glenn, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am wonderful. So I'm reading through this stuff, and you ran cross country in high school, but really, was that the not a ball sport guy? No baseball, football, basketball, and was that all in? Was that in New Jersey?
Yeah, no. Actually, I grew up in Texas, and no, I did play baseball, football, basketball, soccer. Kind of a little bit of everything growing up. I was super great at any one, but I enjoyed playing sports and just the whole competitive environment of sports and what that brought. I love competition, and so I enjoyed pretty much a little bit of everything.
So when you registered to do the New York City Marathon in 2006, were you living in Texas or were you at that point in New Jersey?
No, I was in New Jersey then. I graduated college in 2012 and moved straight to New Jersey or New York 10 days later and thought I'd just give it a shot. So I'd been living up here for a few years at that point.
So so when you jumped into 2006 New York City Marathon, you didn't have a lot of marathon background.
I had zero marathon background at that time.
What got you into it?
You know, it was one of those things where I thought, being an athlete, early in my life, I hadn't been doing much, after high school and really post college, and it was one of those bucket list items where I said, while I'm still young, I'm not that I was getting out of shape, but I definitely wasn't in the prime that I was in earlier in my lifetime. But I said, let me sign up for the New York City Marathon, and I applied to the lottery. Luckily, I got in.
And how fast did you run?
Well, it wasn't that great. The first time it was 4 hours and 2 minutes.
Wow, you almost broke 4 hours your first time out. That's pretty impressive.
Almost.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So and a year later, you find triathlon.
Yeah, so a year later, after the marathon, I said, never again. This is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I'm done. I was in a lot of pain, but it was a great experience. So I the lottery opened for the next year, and, of course, I registered again.
Of course.
For the marathon, and the whole addiction thing kicked right in. But the following year in 2007, I said, let me give a triathlon a shot. I tried this whole marathon thing. Let me try.
Yeah.
And so I went out and not knowing anything about anything, I bought a $100 bike off of Craigslist and registered for a local race at the Jersey Shore. And I gave it a shot, and I was instantly hooked as I laid sat there on the boardwalk, and I was exhausted, kind of like the same feeling after the marathon.
Yeah.
But I knew that this was something that I was going to love and going to love for a long time.
So I look and I see, okay, so you ended up doing four other events on that $100 bike. You go, in 2007, you go 24 minutes faster than New York City Marathon.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, I'm guessing you are all in. Right, I see that you went from eight events to 2007, and you did what, 100 and some events over the next couple of years, and 36 events in 2012.
Yeah, you know what, and to be honest, that doesn't even capture all of my cycling specific races. There were a few extra there as well, but. I was one of those guys where, I love competition. I love multi-sport, being running races, triathlon, cycling races specifically. I love the community of people.
Yeah.
And just, getting back to the whole competition thing, I yearned for it. Right? I love sitting there at the start line waiting for the gun to go off. I love competing. I love pushing myself. And unlike a lot of things in life, I think you're able to really see and reap the benefits of the hard work and effort you put into multi-sport. And, I can compare my time today versus last month versus a year ago in the marathon, for example, based on just attrition and
sure.
the time that I put into it, which is pretty cool.
Now, how important was the social side of it? Just the fact that people, here's a guy I'm training with, or are you one of those guys who trains on his own?
No, I train with people. I mean, I did both, but, there's not one person that I train with that I genuinely didn't want to succeed. Right? And so I met these great people all around, the area. And since I race so much, I started to meet a lot of people, which was pretty cool. But, you know, we're all in it together. We all push each other. And the thing about it was, you know, coming from my background, you know, in triathlon, you know, I wasn't a high school or collegiate swimmer. I wasn't a high school or collegiate runner, but I certainly, you know, didn't have a cycling background. So, you know, for me, fortunately, you know, I was able to meet some people that were collegiate swimmers or collegiate runners. And, you know, I was able to kind of pick their brain and train with them and push myself to get better and try to be the best that I can be. Because when I was in, you know, training with these groups, you know, I was pretty good, you know, collectively with all three disciplines put together. But in any specific one, you know, I wasn't nearly the best. So it was good to always push myself and challenge myself to learn from people that were better than me.
Well, and the cool thing about the sport, at the end of the day, yeah, there's age groups, but you're really competing against the course and you're competing against yourself, which is what, you know, I think drives people in the sport of triathlon to do more, because you're always achieving.
Absolutely.
So, 2007 or 2008, you're on a entry level road bike. By 2000, you use that for a couple years, and then you get a tri bike for three seasons in 2009, and then in 2012, you get high end bike, hire a coach. I can, you know, the wheels are turning. It's like, okay, I know I can do every race you finish. You're going, I can go faster. I know I can go faster. Right. That's the cool part about triathlon compared to something like running. It's like, how much longer can you keep getting faster as a runner? You know, there's a point of diminishing return where in triathlon, you've got three sports that you can be sort of average at and keep getting better at.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, there was always, you know, always room for improvement, and you know, you never settle, right? So I was always trying to find a way to you know, and pick up a few seconds here or be more aero here or, you know, have a coach help me out and figure out, you know, what my strengths are, you know, my strengths were, and work on the, you know, work on my weaknesses and really, you know, kind of push myself to, I guess, to the limit where there, you know, hopefully were no limits, but, you know, it's always something to improve on. There's always something that you can sharpen, which is, you know, made this fun.
So 16 half Ironman / 70.3 events, 20 to 30 hours a week of training. You are all in on this thing. I end up on the cover of Runner's World, December 2012. That's pretty cool.
Yes, that was very cool.
And I'm sure everywhere you went, from every time you went, you saw your buddies, they gave you a lot of crap about that.
No, they absolutely did. It was great. I mean, in the pool at Masters Swim, I mean, everywhere we went, it was they were giving me heck for sure.
Love that. So take me through June 2014. You're on a bike ride, and a car makes an illegal U-turn right in front of you.
Yeah, so, you know, constantly training again for another Ironman. I had just finished Ironman Texas, I guess, a few weeks prior. So I am on a morning training ride. I leave from my house, a training ride I've done hundreds of times. We take it from, you know, local town in Jersey City, where I live, up to the state line. It's about 22 miles. We turn around and come back. It's normally a great ride. In the morning, we get in about 44, 45 miles before work and before most people are even getting up. So one of those things that we love. But, you know, I was actually by myself at this point, and I was about 32 miles in, and just south of the George Washington Bridge, and a car was trying to make an illegal U-turn. So they pull out, and they start try to make the turn northbound onto River Road here south of the bridge. Yeah. And when they were trying to do that, they realized that cars were coming in the northbound lane, and they couldn't complete the turn. And that's where I didn't have enough time to react and slow down. And I, you know, ran right into the passenger side of the car.
And we're talking two collapsed lungs, nine broken ribs, and paralyzed from the waist down.
Yeah, absolutely. That was it.
Wow.
And also on top of that, you know, I had a broken jaw, you know, clavicle. I mean, just, you know, all kinds of issues. It was not good. Yeah, so instant paralysis. Immediately rushed to the Hackensack Medical Center and spent 30 days there, you know, and about a week in ICU, and then the rest of the time in a step down unit again, where with the collapsed lungs and mouth wired shut, and you know, just ribs and everything else. So it was not good, not a good situation.
So how long was it from the point of that accident to the time where you thought, you know what, I can still be an endurance guy?
You know, it was, you know, so I spent 30 days in Hackensack, and then I went to Kessler Institute for rehab, which is great spinal cord place in the country here. You know, it's local in New Jersey. And so I was there for 60 days. And I would say, you know, about 30 days in, so probably, you know, in the middle, end of July, you know, I started thinking about potentially what I might be able to do. And, so I had some friends of mine that wanted to put on a benefit for me for my birthday, which was on August 31st. And they were put on a 5K, and, you know, people just kind of came out of the woodworks. It was just an amazing event. And I said, you know, what if I wanted to do a hand cycle? So I go and ask the folks at Kessler. I was like, you guys have any hand cycles? And I said, well, we probably do somewhere here. And I said, why don't you try to pull one out and see if I can get it on and do it. I'd love to do it at the 5K. And they said, you know, we really don't do that as an inpatient here, but, you know, and you're really weak and you have broken ribs and, you know, and you've lost about 35 pounds. You know, I don't think you're strong enough. I said, you know what, just appease me. Just let me try. You know, just give me that shot. That's all I'm asking for. So they bring it out and I'm weak. They transfer me into the bike and, you know, it's a really old one, but, and I'm able to get in it. I'm rolling around the hardwood floors at Kessler. And I said, gee, guys, I can absolutely do it. So fast forward like another week, I said, yeah, you know what, let me see if I can take it outside. So we actually went to a parking lot. And, you know, and of course, I'm this, you know, I'm not a macho guy, but I mean, I'm trying to be as macho as possible and say, you know, this is going to be fine. So I went outside and we did about half a mile in the parking lot. It was hard, but I said, you know what, I can do this. And I wanted to do it for the 5K, but at that point, you know, when I asked for my release, we had to send to the insurance company not to be named. They said, if I can go do a 5K and a hand cycle, I don't need to be an inpatient. So I said, okay, point well taken. There'll be other opportunities. So I didn't do the race.
Right.
But what I did understand was that mentality, that competitiveness, that drive, everything that I had, you know, 90 days before at Ironman Texas, I still had. So the first thing I wanted to do was look up and see if there was an organization out there that were for people like myself in this situation that could help me, could support me, could help me figure out how in the world I could even get back to doing what I love to do, knowing that I've lost 35 pounds and I can't do sports the way I used to. So you know, I looked up online and checked with a few resources there at the hospital, and that's where I came across the Challenge Athletes Foundation.
And so when you found CAF, did you reach out to them right away to see, hey, how do I get a hand cycle?
Well, see, you know, by that time it was, I guess it was August, end of August, and I knew that they had an application deadline coming up at the end of December, and I ended up meeting. There was a gentleman that came to Kessler, and he spoke, and he told me that he had made, I guess, the Olympic team in hand cycling for the Paralympics, and he said, and it resonated really well with me because he said that he did his first 5K, and it took him an hour to do. But he did it. He knew he was going to do it. And he went on from there, obviously did some pretty cool things. And, you know, I was like, that's me. That's absolutely me.
Yeah.
So that's when I went on the website and said, you know, I got to fill out this application. So I had my coach. I had, I forgot who else I had. I had a couple other, you know, friends, a coach of mine, and I think a work colleague fill out the application for me, you know, kind of, you know, tell a little bit of background about myself. And I remember one of the things on the application. Meanwhile, I'm sitting here in the hospital. I can barely move my arm, and my ribs are still not completely healed. And you know, and one of the things it said, you know, what am I looking to do? And I have no idea what I'm even capable of doing. But I said, I want to do this half marathon at Rutgers. I want to do the New York Marathon, and then down the road get back into triathlons, Ironman, whatever else it may be. I want to push myself, and I had no idea what I was going to be able to do, but you know what, with the support of folks, you know, within the organization that I already met at that point, you know, it just shows you that, anything is possible. So at that point, I was excited what the future was going to be able to hold, for sure.
And so you did a half marathon.
I did on April the 12th, exactly 10 months post my accident. I did a half marathon at Rutgers at the Unite Half Marathon, absolutely.
Wow. How did, now, and that was on your CAF chair?
Yes, it was. Absolutely. It was on my CAF chair.
And how to feel?
It was amazing. It was, you know, as excited as I was, I mean, I had the same jitters, the same anxiousness I had before any other race. You know, I had no idea what I was going to be able to do because I had taken it out one time before because it's April the 12th here in the Northeast. So
yeah, probably the weather wasn't good. Yeah.
So I took it outside one time, and there's snow covered all around this Liberty State Park here where I live. I had some buddies go with me. So, I mean, I really didn't know what to expect. I do have a trainer, so, you know, I did train a little bit. But, you know, it went better than expected. I had an amazing time. And, you know, I got to be honest, you know, when as soon as the gun went off, it was almost just like old times. It was just a different form of racing, but it was
racing.
It was racing.
Yes.
It was the same feeling, the same competitiveness I had before. It was racing, just in a different format.
You know, it's interesting. Carlos Maleda, who's four-time Ironman champion and was paralyzed, he was shot in the back when he was a Navy SEAL. And he talked about being at the start line of Ironman that, hey, it's a level playing field, and I feel like everybody else. I'm using a little different type of equipment, but at the end of the day, I'm the same as everybody else on that day. We're all going to suffer. We're all going to hurt. And
absolutely,
it's getting from point A to point B as fast as possible.
Yep, no, you know, you're he's absolutely right. I mean, that's exactly how I felt, and it was pretty cool. When I was sitting in my hand cycle at the start line, I was looking at a few pictures from behind. I had a little GoPro on. It was almost like I was in like this NASCAR, like the cockpit of a NASCAR.
Yeah.
You know, just this amazing, you know, same adrenaline rush you feel. I mean, when I crossed the finish line, I mean, it was just the same emotion when I would, you know, cross the finish line, win a race. I mean, it just came right back to me. Just absolutely love it. Absolutely love it.
So when the doctor tells you you're paralyzed and you're, what, 90 days, not that long after, not 90 days, not that long after doing Ironman Texas, I mean, you can go one of two ways. You can, you know, oh my God, I can't believe my life is over. Or you can look at it and go, my life is different.
Right.
You seem like a life is different type of guy, but that doesn't happen immediately. How tough was that transformation from able-bodied Ironman guy to wheelchair-bound hopeful athlete?
You know, at first it was tough. I mean, at first, especially the first month, just trying to figure out, you know, my new body. I mean,
yes,
everything was constantly changing, and you know, and I'm trying to figure out how to transfer, how to use my arms. I mean, I come in from an able-bodied athlete where my legs were strong. My legs took me where I needed to go. You know,
yes,
literally right on the bike and when running. You know, and to not have that, right, to where I need to rely on my upper body where, you know, I'm a triathlete, so, you know, I don't have much of an upper body at all.
Yeah. Especially when you lose 35 pounds.
Right, right. When you lose 35 pounds when you're not mobile, absolutely. So that to me was the biggest challenge, was just to understand and make sure you do it in the right way. I mean, just like in training, I mean, you can't overdo things at first, and you have to make sure you're smart about, you know, not necessarily your training, but about your recovery, and make sure that your recovery is number one on the list. You know, but, you know, it was tough, but at the same time, you know, people asked me, they said, you know, how do you want to get back into racing, and why do you want to get back into racing? Because this is how you got here in the first place. And I would think that getting on a bike wouldn't feel good. You wouldn't want to. And I said, you know what? That never even crossed my mind. I said, this is just how racing is going to be now. And I think for me, it's a little bit different. I mean, if I literally had to go get back on a bicycle again, I think there would be some trepidation there, just because, you know, that was the accident. But,
right,
you know, getting on a hand cycle to me is, while it's like getting on a bicycle, it's kind of completely different. And there was really, didn't even cross my mind that this is how I got injured in the first time. I mean, yeah, obviously if I'm outside, you know, riding and there's cars, there's that feeling kind of comes back sometimes. But, you know, it's just, I guess in my DNA, it's just always been there from when I was a little kid, just kind of overcome obstacles, be able to kind of fight through and, you know, challenge yourself and just kind of push the envelope and just see what's out there. And it's just kind of set goals, right? Set goals and work towards them and overcome them, just like the whole
sure,
kind of triathlon Ironman mantra. That's just kind of who I am. So I enjoy it. I love putting myself out there. And again, it also helps me get back into that whole multi-sport community that I was talking about earlier.
Yep.
That, you know, really kind of facilitated, you know, great friendships and bonds. And these are the people that supported me when I was hurt. And, you know, I remember sitting in my hospital, you know, watching folks, you know, at various Ironman races. I had the trackers up, you know, on my iPad at actually Ironman Canada that I was supposed to do again last year.
Yeah.
And my friends were there, and then, you know, my friends qualifying for Kona, and then, you know, a couple of my friends in Kona. I mean, it was just remarkable. I had T-shirts made up that had two N's on it, which stood for, you know, Glenn, my name, with two N's. And, you know, a couple of them put on my shirts and had my shirt going across the finish line, and it's just amazing, absolutely amazing. The community is just amazing. Even before the accident, I mean, it's such a great group of people, kind of all the the same kind of personalities and backgrounds, and just wanting to be good people and be the best that they can be and help others and push others. And it's just been remarkable, especially since the accident, for sure.
So when I look back at the things, every year you got better, you invested in more equipment and coaching, etc. You seem like the type of guy, hey, yeah, I did the half marathon, great. Now how do I go faster? How do I analyze my technique? When can I do my first marathon in a hand cycle? I'm guessing that you've already, what are you doing, New York again?
I will be doing the New York Marathon this year.
I love that.
On November the 1st, and again, I signed up for it, and, nothing, I mean, in about races that I've done, and I've probably done over about 175, different races, and, the New York Marathon being my first race, yes, and just the electricity of the city, there's really nothing like it. And I'm just thankful and really, really excited to be able to do the race again this fall.
I love that. So who helped you from a perspective of how do you push this hand cycle? I mean, obviously finding another hand cycle athlete to talk about technique is essential because it's a different animal than riding a bike or just getting around in an everyday chair.
Yeah, no. That's an understatement.
Yeah.
Fortunately, when I was trying to, there was another race I was actually going to try to do. I didn't have a hand cycle at the time. I was going to try to do a turkey trot, and yeah, I was trying to find somewhere to try a hand cycle or just borrow one, but
right,
like you can't go to a bike shop and just get a hand cycle. So, one of my friends, knew that I was trying to do this, and actually I get a call from a guy here in New Jersey named Sam Spencer, and I remember the name, vaguely from something else, and, he's like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, I'm doing good. How are you? He's like, I hear you're looking to do a race. And I said, yeah, do you know where I can get a hand cycle? He's like, no. But he said, I can do you one better. I can let you borrow mine. and I know who Sam Spencer is because he had just won the Boston Marathon in the hand cycle division, for 2014.
Yeah.
And, and I know what bikes cost. And I'm like, oh, I can't borrow your bike. He's like, hey, that's what we do.
Exactly.
That's what we do in the community. We help each other out. So I went down to his house. And he had his bike on the trainer. I got on it. He set me up, and I took it away. And knowing him, he had trained over 10,000 miles on his trainer.
Wow.
They took his bike out four times that year, and they were all for marathons. And then the day before Thanksgiving in the Northeast, we got a snowstorm. And knowing that he didn't take his bike outside, I couldn't take his bike out. And mess it up. So I said, there'll be a better day. So I took the bike back to him and said, appreciate it. But not folks like that, go out of their way and help me out and give me advice. And Carlos was great for me as well. When I was, specking out the bike and saying, you might want to take a look at this. And there's other folks that have been in the community that I've met through CAF, that was, as many did today was the first female Ironman, first female Ironman, finisher at Kona, and she's given me input and advice on things that I can do not only for the bike but from swimming.
Yeah.
And it's just remarkable. And
that's,
I mean,
cool.
I have no idea. I mean, I remember doing the same thing when I was an able-bodied athlete. When I was getting into triathlons, and then fast forward, for my 4, 5, 7 years in the sport, people asking me the same thing and helping them out. So it's just extremely important because I would have no idea where to begin.
I love your soundbite that it's important to look through the windshield, not the rearview mirror. I think too many of us just question, I can't believe I did this, can't believe I did that, rather than going, you can't do anything about that. Just worry about what you can affect. Mm-hmm. What are your, when you look at goals, is it to do a triathlon down the line?
It is to do a triathlon. Triathlon down the line.
Oh,
it's one of those things where, I recently, I just went swimming this last week, and I've been swimming probably a handful of times, and I'm working on some form, and I'm still working on, obviously still recovering, my body's still changing.
Sure.
I'm still working on a few things and in rehab with some doctors, but Now, triathlon is definitely on the goal, on the list of goals to do, and just finding, I guess, the right one and kind of getting started. You know, you can go back to my racing days. I was always a guy that preferred the flat and fast races, and yeah. I'm definitely going to do that now with even now with the hand cycle. But I'll build myself up. So I'm looking out there trying to figure out, you know, here in the local area, what local races that I can do. It's right. Kind of a controlled water swim that would be, you know,
a bay
kind of
swim. That would be good.
A bay or a lake, and then it's flat that I can get started. But you know, I don't have a push chair yet. So if I were to do one, which I would like to do one this year, I think it would probably have to. I would just probably in the 5K just push my regular wheelchair.
Right. Yep.
But no, getting into next year for sure. You know, the triathlons are going to be on the list of things doing it, and hopefully it'll be kind of the trajectory that I saw. In my previous career, where I started out with a few sprints and Olympics and kind of built myself up and kind of figured out what's next.
So I love the fact that the gal you were on the cover with at Runner's World, who had been in a car accident herself, reached out to you, and you hadn't seen her in a couple of years, right?
Right, yeah, no, I hadn't seen her since the shoot. We did the shoot on September 22nd, 2012, and I don't know why I remember that date, but I'm sitting in rehab. I can barely move, and I'm doing whatever I can in rehab. And my mom was up here the entire time for about 50 days straight. And she comes in there, and I'm like, "Ma, you're not supposed to be in here. You know, I'm doing rehab. You know, get visiting hours or later." But she said, "I had someone here to see you." And I turned around and I saw Lucia, and I hadn't seen her in a couple years. About 2 years since we did the shoot, and I just kind of not broke down, but I got chills.
Yeah.
Just, you know, when I saw her, because that was just simply amazing. I had no idea she was coming, and for her to make the trek from the city and just knowing her background, it really meant a lot.
Well, you guys are connected, right? That image is frozen in time. You guys are on the cover of Runner's World together, and now you've reconnected with someone. So, and someone who can relate to what you're going through.
Right. No. Yeah. You're absolutely right. I mean, that was just it was an amazing experience for just the both of us. And then, you know, it ended up being a good, relationship that we had. You know, we rekindled, after those couple of years. And she was someone I could talk to, and someone that provided some, input. She's always smiling and always had a great attitude. And you know, just she ended up visiting me a couple times, and just it was great to see her, and it really helped, kind of lighten the mood for sure.
I remember, and I think it was at a Tri Club of San Diego meeting. Someone came up, and one of your friends from here, who said, "Hey, our buddy is an Ironman guy, and was just paralyzed in an accident, and pulled out one of the 25 years of Ironman book." And I think, "You think he'd like one of these?" And they're like, "Oh my God, I think he would like that."
Yeah, no, I do, and I appreciate that. I have it in my office sitting here. It reminds me every day kind of what the goals are for, and that we're all in this together. So I appreciate that. That was awesome.
Well, and then the next step, obviously, is that you're going to be called upon to do exactly what happened for you. Is there's going to be folks out there who get injured, and your job is going to be to, because you have the credibility. You've gone through it, and keeping people on that on the positive path is tough, right? You went through it. You know how hard that is.
No, I mean, you're absolutely right. I think it goes without saying how important that is, because knowing where I was, and I was in a pretty bad spot, right?
Yeah.
Just 10 months ago, and 10 months from my accident, that I was able to do a half marathon.
That's so cool.
I think is thank you. I think it goes to show, and it does give me some credibility with folks. And I'm sitting there at Kessler, and folks really easily take the wrong path, where they just kind of sit there, and they feel bad, and then rightfully so. You can feel bad. I mean, it's life, and that's going to happen. But just to let folks know, I think kids especially. I mean, kids have a tough time just kind of growing up as it is. But the fact you're in a disability like this, it's important to show, that. What options are out there, right? That the power of sports, the power of the community, the power of, pushing yourself, putting yourself out there, what that can do for, for your spirits and your goals, and set you up for not only success, in sports, but also the success, right, in your rehab, right? Because inherently, you know, me training again for this half marathon, right, is help build up my strength to help get me and move me along in my rehab. And it's going to be the same for anybody else. So, again, it puts you out there. It gets you with folks in the community and kind of just helps you kind of refocus, I guess, when sometimes it's easy to lose that focus when you're in these rehab settings, for sure.
Well, and your family and friends, they take their lead from you, right? So if you're in a good mood, they're in a good mood, right? They everybody's sort of on pins and needles, not sure how do we react here, right? There's like everybody feels like they sort of need to entertain or they need to do something, but the fact that you can take the lead and be the positive, upbeat one, then everybody's going, okay, Glenn's going to be fine.
No, you're right. I mean, I love seeing folks. I mean, I never, you know, people always say, you know, we can't tell people to come to that. I said, you know what, bring them. If they want to come, I want to see them.
Yep.
And, you know, just as much for me seeing them. And then I had many folks come by and say, now, hey, you know, kind of what you're doing has really inspired my kids, you know.
Exactly.
And I have, you know, an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old that have come and seen me in the hospital, and they're motivated to do better in school and do better in sports because, hey, if Glenn can do it, I can do it. And that stuff's just amazing.
It
really, really is. And you, know, you just kind of love kids. And again, you know, just really being able to give back, but to set an example and lead by example, but to be able to help kids especially, I think is just really, really important.
Oh, that's so cool, Glenn. Glenn, thanks so much for taking time. Now, how much of the weight have you gained back?
I've probably gained back about 15 of those pounds, which is actually probably
you know, plenty, huh?
It is. It's probably plenty now. I mean, I've been gaining some weight with a lot of muscle, you know, kind of, you know, working out and back into shape. But when your mouth is wired shut for 5 weeks, it's really easy to lose some weight.
I lost 35 pounds. Ask me how. That can be your T-shirt, right?
Right. Nope. Oh, man. But yeah.
Glenn, thanks so much for taking time. Great to have you part of the CAF family. We love having you as part of the family because that's a great coming from where you were to doing a half marathon 10 months exactly from the date of the accident. That's a major statement.
No, thank you. I appreciate it. I can't thank you and the entire team enough for all the support and giving us a chance and just giving us the resources out there to really, you know, help make a difference. It's been wonderful, and this is just the beginning. I'm looking forward to much, much more.
Love it. Glenn Hartrick has been our guest again. We are brought to you by RacePlace.com, RunCatalina.com, Function Smart Physical Therapy, and check out any of our interviews on iTunes at Babbittville Radio. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.